welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast. What a wonderful show we have lined up for you today. Let me introduce all of my fellow co-hosts who describe me as adequate. Ha ha ha. First of all, we have the fearless leader, Jeremy Reisman. Jeremy, you're also from California. How's the weather? We're no longer burning alive. That's great to hear, Jeremy. Also on the show today, we have Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock god. Ryan, how are things going, Mr. Rock God? I'm still teaching high school.
He didn't even try to change his voice at all to do you and me. He just did it straight through. That was magical.
No explaining what the POD cast is, no Twitter handles. You got some work to do.
We'll work on it. It's fine. It was adequate. It was an adequate impersonation of my adequacy. Wow. As Ryan was speak for yourself, Ryan.
I was going to say, what level of adequate does that make me? If I'm an adequate version of adequate Chris,
is that second tier?
Yeah, that's very below. That's very below brand.
All right. No, I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host, as Ryan explained. Jeremy Reisman is the other voice there at Detroit Online. And Ryan Matthews, we did the drop at Ryan_POD. And we're here to talk to you about the Detroit Lions and fun things. Coming up on the show, we're talking about the new look coach and staff of the Detroit Lions. We're talking, what was the second one, Jeremy? What else we got again?
Ticket prices.
Y'all were kind of up in arms about ticket prices this week. We're going to talk about that, Tom, about that. And then guess what? List cast. It's back, baby. Top five Winter Olympic sports.
List cast. Is that copyrighted? Can we sing that?
Yes, it is, but who cares? Let's talk about the Detroit Lions, and let's talk in particular about the new coaching staff put together, which I'm just like looking up some of this stuff right now. And I hate to announce that I haven't been doing my homework, but I've been very busy. So I will let Jeremy Reisman take this one away to explain what we're going to be talking about here.
Well, let's first just get into the press conference. Last time we talked, we were waiting for the press conference. It had been officially announced on the 35th anniversary of Toto's Africa becoming a number one hit that the Lions were hiring Matt Patricia. But we hadn't heard from him yet. We just heard a quick little statement. But on Wednesday, we got a full press conference. We heard a lot of interesting words about his plans for the team, how he became the Lions head coach, his, you know, partnership with Bob Quinn, because as he said, or as Bob Quinn said, those two are going to be tied to the hip. And a lot of interesting set things. Ryan and I just kind of tackled everything that day. But what stuck out to you most, Ryan? What was, if you had one takeaway from his press conference and Bob Quinn's, you can throw that in there too. What was it?
Well, it's kind of unfair to do this, but you know, what was it? Less than 48 hours after the press conference was when we found out about Bob Quinn's contract extension that he got.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think maybe the biggest takeaway from Lions, you know, talk in general over the past week has been that now we know how long Matt Patricia's contract is because it perfectly syncs up with Bob Quinn's contract extension. And I think the big takeaway is that these guys, as you've already pointed out and alluded to, are inextricably attached at the hip. Like these two guys had the next, you know, five seasons to put together a winning team in Detroit. And I was listening to a SiriusXM radio interview that Bob Quinn did the other day. Yeah. And he talked about how he was, you know, he was excited for the opportunity to do something really special here in Detroit with Patricia and, you know, having the chance to do it. He said, hopefully over the course of the next 5 years and even beyond that. So I think the biggest takeaway from you know, Patricia last week, his press conference, from Bob Quinn's extension, is that there's this very deep connection that is being embedded in the Detroit Lions culture, in their organization, from the top to from the top to the coaching to all of the people that are even under Patricia. It seems like there's this very, very deep connection that's being built. And that gives me a lot of a hope for the idea of this working, I guess.
Yeah. And what was fascinating to me was when the Lions announced that Bob Quinn was getting that extension, they specifically mentioned that it was the exact same length as Matt Patricia's contract. They had no reason to do that. There was no reason why they had to do that. But it sent, I mean, it almost seemed like that was, you know, Firestone sending a message.
Yeah. Like, I think it was, it was definitely a point of emphasis, right?
Yeah. I mean, it had to be because, like I said, it's a throwaway line norm. Like, you don't, usually they just throw contract terms are not immediately disclosed. Like, that, then they're done with it. They're not going to announce it. Maybe it'll get leaked by Schefter or something. But they went out and got ahead of it and said, these two have the same contract, essentially. So, you guys are a package deal. If it doesn't work out, you guys are gone. If it does, get ready for another extension.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Stan Van Gundy deal, pretty much. The five-year plan back again here in Detroit.
I think it's also important to point out that just because they have five-year deals does not mean they're going to be around until 2023. If they don't get it done, I you know, we've seen Firestone, you know, kick them to the curb a little early, and then I think expectations are very high very soon. I sent out
Firestone, by the way, is Martha Ford. You're slipping into Slack talk here.
Her name is Firestone. It will always be Firestone. But I was just going to say, I think it's important to point out the expectations, at least among fans. They expect this team to not only make the playoffs, but compete for, a playoff win, get that first playoff win since, you know, in two decades. And I think that's a reasonable expectation, even for a first year head coach.
I don't know why I'm just thinking of this now, but I'm thinking about Matt Foley from SNL being the motivational speaker. And I feel like it almost makes perfect sense for Bob Quinn when Farley's talking to Spade and he's saying, I'm going to be your buddy. I'm going to be your pal. He's like, I'm going to be your shadow. There's you, there's Matt. There's you, there's Matt. And he goes right through the table. But like, these guys are, they're going to be almost one. And it's interesting you bring up the Stan Van Gundy stuff, Chris, because, you know, this is morphing into a Pistons podcast, according to some people. but here's the opportunity where two brains can be better than one. And like, the one thing that I loved from the fallout of the press conference on that Wednesday was that those two guys were getting to work like right after the press conference was done. Right, Jeremy?
Yeah, that was my favorite thing I got from Torrey Petri. Did an interview with both guys after his initial press conference. And I think it was Bob Quinn who first said, yeah, I think after we're done here, we're just going to head right to the film room and start analyzing our own players. And
no, they're not.
Matt Patricia said, yep, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what we're going to do.
No, they're not. No, they're not. They went and played a big game of electric football all night long. Just kept playing electric football. I mean, that's drawing up the plays right there, pretty much.
I would be fine with that, to be honest.
Like, that is the drawn up play, the Detroit special, just ramming like the entire 53-man roster onto the field in kind of a weird morphing line.
It's that Jeff Davidson power run scheme right there, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, do you remember what electric football is? I know you Googled it last week. Do you need a reminder?
Wait, does he not know what electric football is?
I'm sorry, I was born in 2002. It's not not my fault.
Let's see. I think maybe the other big takeaway, and it's something we kind of already knew about Matt Patricia, but it felt good to hear him say it, is that whole... We're not tied to a scheme. We're going to evaluate our own roster, evaluate our strengths, and build a scheme around that. And yes, that's kind of become a cliche for a lot of coaches, but it's not for everybody. You know,
which
I don't think
stop sending us your questions about if the Lions are going to switch to a 3-4 defense.
Right. Because, and not only is it going to depend on who they get in free agency and the draft, but it's going to depend on their opponent. I was listening to an interview with, I want to say Mike Reese of ESPN, the Patriots beat writer there. He was talking about the time the Patriots and the Eagles faced off in the Super Bowl, you know, 6 years ago or whenever it was the first time. And he said the Patriots came out in a 4-3 that game and hadn't played 4-3 the entire season. That's what you're going to get with Matt Patricia. It's not just 4-3 or 3-4 depending on your own players. It's depending on the players across that line of scrimmage.
I'm also going to trust him know what he's talking about versus what's his face with SI, who the Patriots
Andy
came out
Benoit.
To play.
You're going to hate out on Andy Benoit?
Yeah, not knowing what a match is. It match coverage? I forget the exact name, but not knowing what that is. But
the point is, this is going to be a very versatile defense. That's one thing he wasn't clear about is what his role with the defense was. And that's something I would have liked to hear a little more is, you know, just come out and say you're going to call the defense, because I feel like everyone thinks that's what's going to happen. And we can kind of transfer to this and do the other coaches. But there's not a lot of confidence in defensive coordinator Paul Pasqualoni. And I think Matt Patricia would have eased a lot of fears had he talked about how he was essentially going to be overseeing the defense, because it makes sense, right? I mean, he kept offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter around. He got Jeff Davidson in there to help out the running game. That side of the offense is going to be fine. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be great.
Is Cooter going to be on a short leash, though, you think? Because like, this isn't really his guy. Like, it feels like if the offense doesn't perform after a year, Cooter could be showed the door.
I don't know. I think that may be true, Chris, but at the same time, I think we got to be careful with the way that we decide who is whose guy now, because
I mean, that's true. He did survive Quinn, and I mean, Quinn was kind of the guy who made the effort to keep him around on the staff when every other, you know, for 2 years now, for 2 years, it was pointed out that Bob Quinn was and the Lions were trying to keep Jim Bob Cooter on the staff.
Right. And maybe, I mean, we can say, I think in hindsight that Jim Caldwell was never a quote unquote Bob Quinn guy. But at the same time, I think that kind of changes now, because Matt Patricia has even given him his own stamp of approval and made him his offensive coordinator. I don't think that's a decision necessarily that was entirely Bob Quinn's. I fully believe that Quinn was being truthful at the beginning of the head coaching search, where he said, you know, the head coach was going to be giving full autonomy and the freedom to choose his own staff. So I think with Patricia choosing Jim Bob, that he definitely becomes one of them. He becomes one of their guys. So I'm not sure what kind of leash that puts him on, though. I want to believe that maybe it puts him on a shorter leash, but I don't know. I feel like if Patricia even had if he had an idea of some other guy he wanted to bring in, I think he would have brought him in over Bob Cooter.
Well, here's the thing. Jeff Davidson has offensive coordinator experience.
That is true.
He was offensive coordinator for the Panthers for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I think right now he just basically split the offense in two. Jim Bob, you take the passing game. Jeff Davidson, you take the running game. And if either of them falters, then you know who's to blame, essentially. And obviously, offensive line coach has a little bit of pass protection in there, too. So they're not completely separate. But I get the feeling that if Jim Bob and if the whole offense doesn't turn around and become at least top 10 next year, I think Jim Bob Cooter could certainly go. And maybe the fault is going to be on Jeff Davidson if he can't turn the running game around. I don't expect him to turn it around into, you know, a top 10 running attack. I wrote a big profile on him today. And what I came out most optimistic about was actually his past 2 years, which were just 1 year stints, one with the Chargers, one with the Broncos. Those were bottom of the barrel running games when he came in, and he didn't turn them into top 10, top five running games, but he basically made them average or just below average. And if you've heard any Lions fans screaming in the past 8 months, they're just every single one of them saying, if we could just have an average running game, imagine what this offense could be. And that's my expectation for 2018.
All right, we got to wrap it up there. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll keep an eye on the staff going forward, but eventually just hopefully to keep talking some more players soon enough. I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll be focusing pretty heavily on free agency, which is coming up a lot faster than I thought. Real quick, what are you guys looking forward in free agency? 10 seconds.
What they do with Ezekiel Ansah and Eric Ebron. Their own guys are kind of more interesting to me.
When they don't sign Le'Veon Bell.
Yes, thank you, Ryan. All right, we're taking a quick break, coming right back, talking ticket prices. You're paying, you're getting robbed. PODcast. It is the PODist. Let's talk about the tickets. So I think, is this now the second year in a row, Jeremy, that ticket prices have third?
It is not. It is the fifth.
Fifth year in a row that the Detroit Lions have raised ticket prices. And it's got some people, I mean, every time the Lions raise ticket prices, you obviously get the article about, oh, hey, look, it's the loser Lions who haven't been to a playoff game, who haven't won a playoff game in X number of years, raising ticket prices. Jeremy, however, gets extremely defensive when you do that and spend at least one day on Twitter arguing about it.
I sent out like five tweets to one person and wrote an article on it.
That's being mad.
Okay. Or it's doing my job.
I don't know if our job's to defend the Lions. See, I don't really agree with that, to be honest. Like but granted, I also think that, like, look, in just the general picture of everything around here, when you have falling when you have, and I know the argument you're going to make, so I'm not, I think what you're about to say too is right. Like, actually, you know what, if you just want to go ahead and say it, like, about winning percentage at home and attendance, go for it, go right ahead before I jump in.
Yeah, I mean, it's all that. Last year aside, the Lions have been excellent at home. Granted, last year they weren't so excellent. That's true. I will give you that. But they've been excellent at home in general. Excuse me. I think since 2014, they've only had three fewer wins than the Seattle Seahawks, who, you know, we all view as the pinnacle of home field advantage. The Ford Field experience is better. They pushed in $100 million of their own money into the stadium last year. We got better Wi-Fi, better food options, you know, better pregame and postgame stuff.
Video scoreboard
is 10 times bigger, if that's important to you. I don't really care about that, to be completely honest, but
it made a huge deal. I mean, it makes the world of difference, though. And I mean, that's even from just being up in the press box, like having having that view and like having that big scoreboard, like it makes a big deal.
Yeah. And then other quick things. Obviously, they have a new head coach. That's going to bring a lot of hype to the team, especially if coming from the Patriots tree. People are excited about the team, and they just set attendance records last year. So,
well, you know what? We should fire a coach every year.
Maybe we should. If it brings in the fans, I mean, it makes business sense, right?
It's a dangerous territory to walk.
Here's the thing. I just don't like the cheap shot hot take that, oh, the Lions haven't won a playoff game since 91, so you shouldn't pay high ticket prices. Like, that is a false narrative. It doesn't matter. It doesn't like, we're talking about regular season tickets anyways.
What is their business works?
Right. It's also not how business works. So here's the thing that I get and I sympathize with. I don't like the fact that casual fans are getting priced out of being able to attend to football games. That sucks. I hate it. I wish the market for NFL games was that of a Pistons game, you know, or a Tigers game. But when you only play 8 home games in a year compared to 82, like, yeah, it kind of makes sense. The tickets are 5 times as much.
But that's just a harrowing reality across the entire NFL, right? I mean, that's not a Detroit Lions problem. That's a problem for almost every NFL franchise. Like you said, like it's a premium ticket. Most of the games are usually on Sundays. I mean, it's a fact of life. I mean, if you don't think that the Lions should have raised ticket prices since the last time they won a playoff game, think about all the things that have changed since then. They're in an entire new arena. Like, I don't know.
Get in the field for $25.
Yeah.
1991 prices.
Yes. Perfect.
I think they should be locked to whatever the price was before the Lions took a tax cut for the stadium, but that's me. Because I don't like the idea of anyone taking, and I know what you're going to say, because every NFL team takes taxpayer money now. to build these stadiums, but I don't give a shit. We're talking about the Lions, not the entire league. And then, yeah, my big concern is just, again, pricing people out. Like, I mean, this is not a sport that's in a really healthy place right now. It is still sitting atop every potential rating, but each year we start to worry about what the hell is going to happen because the home experience is so good. And yeah, a lot of these teams are pouring money into trying to make their stadium experiences better. But I mean, the games are getting pretty long too. And I just don't know what else you do at this point. Like, I mean, I get it. They have to raise prices for nebulous reason X because they've done improvement X on the stadium. But I would just say this again too, like, if you want people to go, you can't just keep pricing out everyone either.
And that's true.
Like, look,
and maybe
wages have been completely stagnant. We've been raising these prices for the last 5 years. Minimum wage hasn't gone up in those 5 years either. So, like, people are getting priced out, and I have a problem with it. I understand they're still some of the cheapest in the league for the Detroit Lions, but Michigan is fairly well depressed. Still today, it is, especially Detroit.
It's a fair point, but I mean, the problem is, like, as a business man, like, why if you're filling up the stadium, why would you change that?
I don't give a shit about the business people. I'm talking about the fans. Right, business people can go jump. I'm talking about the people here, Jeremy. We're a podcast for the people.
I understand that, and I understand you hate capitalism. There it is.
Not the capitalist. No, like, look, we defend the Lions on a lot of things. I just can't go here because, again, I've tried going up to a game, and I've seen what I have to pay. I have to go pay for parking, which, I mean, you can't park anywhere around this city, Detroit, anymore without paying, like, what, $40, $50 for it? God help if you want a tailgate. Then it's, I mean, concession prices are pretty well astronomical, too. And if you're taking kids, don't tell me they can just wait to get a hot dog at home. They're going to want a hot dog.
Yeah.
And just everything else, man. Like, it's so, everything is so crazy expensive across the NFL. Maybe that's part of the reason too. You know, we're talking about worrying about the future of football. Maybe part of it is you have to take a little bit of a haircut when it comes to making sure people get in the games and get in here. I'm not saying bring back whatever it, what was it like for the, I'm not saying bring back 10 cent beer night or whatever it was for the Cleveland Browns in the heyday, but at some point, chasing rising ticket prices just to make sure you're chasing the same profit margin isn't going to cut it. Yeah. We are constantly judging businesses by their ability to continue to make growing profit. And at some point, we have to break that paradigm and say, no, you can break even for once. It's fine. And pass along that to the fans. Like, you want to... The Lions, like every other team in the NFL, brags about how good and loyal those fans are. And if you want to be true to your word, that means you stop reaching into their fucking pocket once in a while.
Yeah.
That's all.
I get it, and I empathize with that, and it makes sense on a moral level to do something like that.
Well, yes, because that's what we have to finally start talking about rather than just constantly talking about real politics and what makes sense logically. Fuck the logic for a second. Talk about doing what's right. We've been trying to deal with that in this country for so long. We have so many people coming out saying, well, you know what? It's okay if people are out on the streets because sometimes that makes right from a business decision. I'm tired of that. And this is a far cry from that. We're talking about sports here. But you know what? You want kids to play football when attendance for kids playing the sport is dropping across the country? Maybe make it so that a father can take his kid to more than one football game a year.
Hey,
or something
I'm not
else.
Gonna,
I don't know.
I'm not going to argue against that. I mean, I wish the world worked like that. I really
well,
do.
I'm just saying that's what a little pressure can do sometimes. And that's kind of why from the fans. Like, look, man.
When,
like,
has that ever worked?
Over in the UK, it worked. Fans were, as a collective, fans stood out and protested against rising ticket prices across the Premier League. I think it was in Liverpool which, again, Liverpool is not exactly a very wealthy part of Britain, but they stood up there and they protested against those rising ticket prices. And guess what? It got reversed. So it can happen. But every time we sit here and talk about, well, we can't really get the people to organize for this thing, that's just being self-defeating. Dream a little. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to lead it. I've got shit I'm doing. But...
Wait a second.
I would, actually. I would if I again had money in my account to go to more than one football game like every other year or something.
You can go to StubHub Stadium and catch a Chargers game for pretty cheap, right?
Dude, no. Chargers games are like $100.
That's insane.
Yes. Like, I tried going back in October to StubHub Center, and like, yeah, the cheap, because you just said it right there, Ryan, StubHub Center. So guess what? Tickets through StubHub aren't going to be the cut rate tickets. Like, yeah, I just don't like this idea that, like, I'm fine with if they rise prices when it comes to it. I just don't see any reason to defend it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Other than what I think Jeremy's trying to go for, which is that someone's making fun of his football team online.
No, it's someone being lazy. That's what bothers me.
You say that all the time, though, about everyone that you argue with. It's like you're making a lazy argument, or this is a lazy point.
Yeah, and that's why I like to write against it and not be lazy and tell people why they're wrong.
Okay.
Fighting the good fight, my man.
Fighting the good fight for the corporations.
Yeah, fighting for the man against the lazy peons of the world, the people who just won't pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Whoa, let's not put words in my mouth here.
Okay, you guys want to do ListCast? Have we talked enough about ticket prices?
I think so. I think we've come to an agreement.
There, I mean, it is a nice place to go to a football game in Ford Field, other than the fact that it's indoors. But I think more stadiums are going to go indoors or you know, opening roof. The only thing I'll just say this, because I had a problem with this when people were asking Rod Wood about it a couple of years ago. I'm not okay with this idea that we're letting the Lion should even begin to ruminate on the idea of another stadium to replace Ford Field. That's wrong. That's wrong because, again, that's just haranguing the city into spending more money it doesn't have.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's keep Ford Field around for a while.
It worked out so well for Joe Louis Arena. They've just been hitting attendance records day after day, right?
Yep, just worked quite well for the Pistons. You know, that's what we always wanted, the Pistons and the Red Wings to play under one roof, huh?
I don't even want to touch that subject with a 10-foot pole, but I will anyways, whatever. They would be
a couple minutes.
The Pistons would be selling out the Palace of Auburn Hills no problem in the first, you know, 5 games after the Blake Griffin trade.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I 100%
believe I'm with him on that, because, like, I mean, I get it. It was a little harder if you're coming from downtown to get to the Palace, but the Palace was a little more accessible for suburbs, I think. And I don't think that paradigm's completely shifted away for drawing people. And again, too, like, we've been out there, Ryan. You and I, we did the Hoops bus with the cheap parking.
That's right. Yeah.
And the wings before the game. Like, I mean, it was a good place to go see a basketball game. And I'm just, I don't know. I have yet to be to the Pizza Palace and see that sterile place that probably everything costs a lot of money.
Interestingly, I haven't been down there yet either. But to tie this kind of back to Ford Field, the reason I enjoy Ford Field so much, and I think people kind of fetishize and they kind of romanticize this idea that, like, football should be played in the elements. And if that's for you, then you can go ahead and be a Bears fan.
I don't think the problem is winters in Detroit are not winters in, like, Boston.
No, it's just, it's like,
it's worse.
I can only imagine going down to some of those games that I went down to this past year, even like the game against Chicago. It was blistering cold outside. It was like wet and nasty and gross. I would not want to sit. I would not want to stand outside.
Yeah, I'm not about this Great Lakes winter. I'm good.
No, yeah. Even the New Year's Eve game against the Packers. Holy moly.
I didn't even go there for that New Year's the New Year's Eve game. I went there a couple of years ago with Alex for the Quick Lanes Bowl, and I nearly caught pneumonia outside because it was just so cold, but it wasn't cold enough for the rain to freeze, so it was like rain and slush together.
Yeah, and it's enough of an experience having to, you know, trudge your way across Detroit from whichever parking lot you park in, because I know you're a big proponent of this, Chris, that, you know, the Lions don't have like the space for like localized parking.
They've got no parking. They barely have any space for good tailgating.
I know. I'm so envious of like other arenas, like University of Phoenix Stadium, where they have like a huge parking lot.
I've been there. That's awesome.
I would pay more for tickets if they opened up and made some more space for tailgating. That's how you get me on board.
What do you think? What if they did something like the Falcons with concessions? Because I've heard from a lot of fans that say if they lowered concession prices, they'd be more likely to buy a ticket.
That's not the same as tailgating. That's absolutely not the same as tailgating.
I was kind of just transferring topics real quick, but
I mean, I wouldn't even mind losing the tailgating too if just the bars around Ford Field were better, but they're really not.
I'm like Elwood.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, right? And Elwood on game day is just swarmed with like radio people and like really cheap, disgusting deals for like really gross looking Bloody Marys and shit. So,
yeah,
it's chilly, baby.
I'm not sure, Jeremy. I mean, if they lowered concession prices, I'm not sure how much that would incentivize me to go. I think it'd be different. Like if I'm part of a family, like if I'm taking like, you know, three or four people with me and, you know, a couple of them are my kids and I have to worry about feeding them because they're not entirely interested in the game. And, you know, you're not going to make those kids go without food for, you know, three some odd hours. So I don't know, like for me as a fan right now where I'm at, I would just much rather, and I think I speak for a lot of people, and this is the huge conundrum. This is a huge problem that so many people see with football just in general, from the college level all the way through the pro ranks. Like, why don't I just stay home and watch it on my television?
It's so much better at home. It really is. And that's the conundrum they have to face. But you know what could fix that? Doing what the Grand Rapids Griffins do. $2 yes. beer and hot dog night.
That would be an unmitigated disaster.
That POD trip will live in infamy. Did we ever talk about Grand Rapids on this podcast? I think we did, but
lost episode if not. But
we'll make it happen again.
Maybe. Yeah. All right, let's get on to the list cast. We've been going a bit long here by that diversion, but I think that was good. So we're going to take a quick break. List cast top five Olympic winter sports. The Olympics are on. Jeremy, you had a great facsimile of the theme. Do it again.
Bum, 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 bum. Toto's Africa is a better song than this one.
All right, let's start our list cast. List cast time. It's back, baby. It's good again. If you're new to this, list cast is literally just that, a podcast about listing things out. It is a top 10, top five rankings. But you know what? We did it first. Do not steal. This is a POD original. And we're here to talk about the Winter Olympics. And right now on my TV, NBC is showing, I think is that Sean White going down the hill? It's whatever. Anyway, the Winter Olympics, I will contend, are pretty lame, especially compared to the Summer Games. I don't know how do you guys feel about it?
I think it's slightly worse, but not as much as everyone says it is. I enjoy the Winter Olympics. I just, for whatever reason, I never seem to put the time aside to actually watch them.
Yeah, see, like for me, like I like the variety in the summer sports because there's a lot of combat sports. I really love watching judo. I like archery. There's gymnastics is always like one of the big ones. There's water polo. There's such a variety in the summer games, and every winter game is just, yeah, I don't know. It's ice. It's outdoors. I mean, that's the whole point of the winter games, but What I'm saying is that that's seasonal dependent. The summer games are not seasonal dependent.
Well, I will take a stance, and I will say that I actually prefer the Winter Olympics to the Summer Olympics.
Okay, you can explain
no, no explanation.
Hey, Jesus Christ.
Nope, no explanation. Well, all right, here's the thing. The Summer Olympics, they might actually take over for the Winter Olympics, but it's not fair. Like, the whole 3-on-3 basketball thing is going to be incredible. Like, I can't wait for that.
Oh, yes, like, yes.
That's exactly how they always should have handled it. But I'm just a huge, huge fan of the Winter Olympics when it comes to ice hockey. And I know things are going to be a little bit different now with, without any NHL players participating. But I think that might actually make things a little bit more interesting to me. See, just because there's going to be a whole roster of different players. And also, I'm probably not going to end up rooting for the U.S. because I can't wait to see Pavel Datsyuk and Ilya Kovalchuk.
Oh, man. Spoiling. Not for Russia. Not for Russia. For the Olympic athletes from Russia. From OR. Never forget that. See, I mean, here's the thing, too. Like, you mentioned basketball and ice hockey. The thing is, I watch those all the time. So when I tune into the Olympics, I want to find things I don't normally get to see. But now we're starting to get into our rankings. So why don't we start? Ryan, why don't you start us off with let's do 5 and 4.
My 5 and 4. All right. Well, my list is rather kind of just piecemealed together, but here it is. So number 5, I'm a big fan of the short track speed skating.
Oh, that stuff's insane to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's probably actually a little bit low on my list, but like, I don't know. It seems like usually the margin for error is so razor thin, and so many things can go wrong. And I don't know, like, as somebody who can even ice skate myself, like, watching them do what they do, it's kind of like how you said, Chris, like, you're so used to like watching hockey, but like when you throw in this kind of like this, like, you know, this interesting twist to it where it's just like speed skating, like, I don't know, it makes it a lot more interesting. So that's my number 5. Number 4 is I like the alpine skiing. I don't know, like, why.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I don't know how their knees survive that stuff.
Going down that freestyle. Yeah, that's some.
Is alpine the slalom? What is alpine?
Yeah, slalom, downhill, combined, super G.
Okay,
yeah. So, like, so when they're doing those, like, hill things?
So there's, like, cross-country skiing. There's alpine, which is down the mountain. And then there's ski jumping. And then Nordic combined is, like, ski jumping and cross-country, I think.
Yeah, so essentially just the skiing where they go down the hill and it looks like their knees are going to explode.
Does anyone have any, like, of the cross-country variations on their list cast, or we can just throw all of them in the garbage? Like, does anyone have biathlon, Nordic combined, none of that?
No, not interesting to me.
Wait, you're talking about, like, moguls, right? Little bumps?
Oh, yeah. Is that not alpine skiing? Is that something different? Alpine
I have no
skiing
idea.
Is the speed one?
This is really getting really confusing.
There's so many
intricacies. Freestyle skiing. Is freestyle skiing new?
I don't even know what that means.
I think freestyle skiing is
like tricks. Spinning on that's, your back?
Yeah. Either way. No, Jesus. Did you do your 4 yet, Ryan?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that
it was
that
whatever
was
kind of skiing.
Alpine
it is.
Skiing, right? Yeah. Okay, we've argued too much. Jeremy, 4 and 5, 5 and 4.
All right, my number 5 is figure skating. I just saw Tanya, so I'm amped. I'm pumped. It's never going to be exciting as it was in the 90s. But
what do you think? Is there like something different for like ice dancing or something? There was like a ice dancing mixed.
Yeah, I think ice dancing is different than figure skating. I don't know
it's
what
under
exactly
figure skating, but it's
It's like all figure skating isn't ice dancing, but all ice dancing is figure skating,
something like that.
I don't know. I think people underrate the actual athleticism that's involved in figure skating, and that's something that I kind of underrated until I saw both the 30 for 30 about Tanya Harding and Tanya. Like, that there's some legit athleticism going on, and it's pretty incredible. And so, yeah. And with a little dancing in there, who doesn't like a little bit of dancing, right?
Exactly. Yeah, as the best dancer on staff, I totally agree with you.
How dare you?
All right.
My number four, ski jumping, because that is the closest man has come to flight ever. I can't believe, like, it's just, I know it's watching the same thing over and over again, but every time is amazing to me. Just how far these people fly. It's crazy. If they put on one of those, like, flying squirrel suits, I get the feeling they would never come down.
What if that was a summer game? Squirrel suit flying.
Could be.
Would that be the best, Ryan, would that be the best ever Olympic game if we introduced, like, that flying squirrel suit, like, glide shit?
I think if you figured out a way to put a basketball in their hands, too, and have them dunk it.
Okay.
They need, like, those, like, you know those video games where there's, like, rings in the air and you have to, like, fly your airplane
bling,
through
bling,
it?
Bling, bling, bling.
Yeah. Yes. I want one of those with just, like, skydiving with the squirrel suit on, flying through rings. Give me that Olympic sport.
All right. We're 7 minutes into this, so I'm going to kick it up here. So, number five for me, and you guys are going to give me hell on this, but actually, hold up. Number five for me is ice hockey.
Boo, you're listening.
Like, I like watching it. I like watching it. But again, I watch the NHL like every year. And not a lot recently because I've been getting back into basketball. But like I can watch it. And that to me is like it's not really much of an Olympic sport if I have almost constant exposure to it. Number four is going to be curling. Again, I can watch a little bit of it compared to, say, like, I mean, when I was in Canada, I could watch more curling, but you know what? It's funny just watching people like fall over or freak out over brooms on ice. It's funny.
You can watch that at a bar when they're playing shuffleboard.
If I was in Vancouver.
If you were anywhere. Yeah. They have shuffleboard. Shuffleboard is boring. I'm sorry. I don't like curling. I know there's going to be a large contingent of people that are huge curling fans that listen to this, but maybe it's fun to play, but it's not that fun to watch. It's shuffleboard.
All right, 3-2, Ryan.
All right. So number three, I have figure skating, and I like the solo skating more than I do like the pairs, but can I just keep them both? Like, I don't want to have to pick between one or the other.
No, I'm taking this by olympic.org/sport, and ice dancing is listed under figure skating here. So okay. That's like, it's not its own category. So you are free to take all figure skating as one.
Perfect. Well, then I'll make that my number three. My number two, I hate you guys for pooping on curling. I love curling. Curling's incredible. Curling is so much fun.
I like it. I like watching it. It's funny. Like, I got exposed to a little bit more of it in Canada, and just it's fun to watch.
One of
fun and funny are not the same thing, though. Let's be
yes,
clear.
They are. Yes, they are.
there was a great tweet of this person who goes, like, you know, after 1 minute of watching curling, this is dull. After 10 minutes, he's overdone the turn on the stone. 30 minutes later, three in the house means nothing if your center guard is right for a hit and roll. 1 hour later, after watching curling, sweet motherfucker, sweet. It's like, that's exactly how all of my curling. That's exactly how all of my curling viewing goes. It's always like,
that's how I feel like when I'm watching darts. Like, I will just get so into darts after
180.
180.
180.
There's a great like old SportsCenter promo they did with one of the guys from Spinal Tap, and he was kind of at the end joking about because the joke was that he made the Sports Center theme, and he's doing stings for different sports. And I'll never forget the one where he's trying to come up with one for curling. He's like, curling, curling, let's all go bloody curling.
Olympic theme is better than that.
All right, Jeremy, you go. What's your 3-2?
My number three is speed skating. I think races are fun. Maybe.
Wait, hold
maybe.
Up. Did I let Ryan get two or did I skip him?
Yeah, curling was number two.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so speed skating. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was because I was born so close to the Northville Downs that I just love watching racing, but racing is kind of fun as long as it's not done in automobiles and there are 8,000 laps and whatever. Speed skating is super fast. It's super short. It's like watching Usain Bolt on ice. It's awesome. I love it. And then my number two is snowboarding. I put in parentheses slope style. I think that's the one I saw. It was one of the first events of the Olympics this year where they're just going downhill, going on.
Yeah, like
grinding, that's going on like three huge jumps to finish it. I can't
believe it's like alpine skiing. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe some of the shit they do. It's insane how and they look so nonchalant doing it. And it's 17-year-olds doing it. And I hate them for being that young and talented. But at the same time, I'm too impressed to be really mad. But man, it's breathtaking.
Spoiler, we were sitting around before the show trying to figure out how old Sean White was. And we were amazed that he is the same age as me and Jeremy. Like, I thought he was a lot older. Like, he just seems like one of those guys that should be as old as Tony Hawk, but he's not.
I thought he's a lot younger. There's no way he could be as old as you guys.
He's 31.
That's insane.
How dare you?
All right. My three is figure skating. I like it. I like a lot about it. Actually, I just saw a great tweet out. Some of the acts in figure skating are just a riot, too. I see some, like, there's been a bunch of, the music choices are always a hoot. This year, I think someone did something to Sailor Moon. And that's not like the only anime thing. There was like a whole big thing on Kotaku about some other like ice skating anime that people have been like taking the music from now. But either way, all I'm saying is that we see some fun stuff. But you know what? I'm waiting for someone. Has someone's asked to have done Toto's Africa?
I don't know. Just search the gold medalists, because obviously they won the year if they did that.
All right, number two, and I really wish I could put all three sports here because I think all three are in the same damn category, but given the choice between bobsled, luge, and skeleton, I'm probably going to have, if I can only take one of those three, I'm going to put skeleton here, because holy god, I don't think I could ever do that in my life, going face first at that speed, just waiting to get my skull caved in. But I like watching all three.
That's one sport where I just think it's unbelievable what these people are doing, but I just don't find it that interesting to watch. Like, if I think about what they're doing, it's like, holy shit, they're going so fast down this narrow tube, and, you know, the slightest mess up, they're going to kill themselves. But in the end, it's just like, all right, they're going down. I don't think they hit the wall there, so they should be good. Yep, they're fine. The end.
I mean, well, you can see that kind of stuff because wasn't it the German Locke who, I forget his first name, but he was like the big luge medalist and he was expected to win gold. And all it took was like one bump from him and suddenly he didn't even place in medaling.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see people almost die.
No, it wasn't a bump. It just his board, like he didn't take the turn well enough that his board just kind of wiggled a bit, and that was all. That because it's determined on like tenths of a second on like if you're going to place or not. It's just insane. Bobsled's kind of fascinating too though, because like, yeah, there's just so many other guys involved with it, but yeah, I don't know,
it's a little overhyped because everyone loves cool running so much.
Well, what about there is monobob, which is like the single ones, and it kind of looks like they got their own like Formula One car with on sleds. I don't know. Which one do you think I should take, Ryan? I feel like it's got to be skeleton, but...
I would probably agree with you. It
seems like the stakes are higher.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, number one. Ryan, what's your number one?
My number one, and it's... I don't know. I feel like it's not... I mean, yeah, it's ice hockey. Like, ice hockey is my number one, just because... So many fond memories of watching ice hockey, and I'm looking forward to getting a chance to learn about, like, you know, some amateur players. Like, I'm invested enough in the sport of hockey to get interested by that stuff. Like, I don't need it to be the quote unquote like world's best, like the NHL players to participate for me to find it interesting. So I don't know. I probably a lot of it has to do with nostalgia and like Dominik Hasek playing for the Czech Republic and him winning a gold medal one year. And I don't know, like, I just, and you know what? this is a great thing, though, is that, like, okay, everybody's assumption is that the USA is just going to get crushed, right? Haven't we seen this movie before?
No, this isn't even in this movie. Like, there's no comparison, even with the 80s team up against some of those other things. Because,
no,
like,
absolutely
there's,
not.
There's no comparison with these guys.
Like, right. I mean, they're the greatest.
USA Hockey didn't even get them, like certain training facilities. They've just completely given up on them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's getting to that. I mean, it'll never get to that point ever again. But, like, it's just, I don't know.
What's even the juggernaut they're supposed to kill, like USSR?
It's probably,
like,
Russia again. And it's not
Russia.
Yeah. And it's not like Russia's not in the news right now.
The Olympic athletes from Russia.
Dude.
Get it right. Is ice hockey your number one too, Jeremy?
It is. And it's almost 100% because of Pavel Datsyuk. I bought his jersey 4 months before he retired from the NHL. Now I can wear it again. I'll have to watch him at 2 a.m. Pacific time, but I'm going to do it.
Sorry, Ryan, you were saying something before I riled up Jeremy here. What were you doing?
No, I was just saying, I don't know what I was saying. Thanks. No, the thing about the players that are playing from Russia, like, they shut down the KHL so that they could train. Like, that's so awesome.
Which is what the NHL should have done, but they're idiots.
No, there's too much money at stake.
My number one isn't hockey. It's snowboarding. I grew up around all that snowboarding shit. I grew up around... Yeah, but, I mean, you were specific that you only like the slope style. I like slope style. I like half pipe. Slalom is okay, I guess. I haven't watched too much of that. Actually, wait, slalom is the one where they go, like, which one's slalom again? I'm trying to remember.
Isn't that just racing? Like, hitting the flags, that sort of thing?
I think so. I'm trying to remember which one is, like, is slope style is the one where they go off the, whatever. I like it all. I like it all.
It sounds like
snowboarding.
It.
You like snowboarding.
I just can't remember, and my brain's fried because I'm watching Half Pipe right now. So I really can't remember anything else but half pipe. But yeah, I like it. I like it because I grew up with all those Winter X games and everything. And, you know, I like Sean White and I had friends who snowboard and it was my great shame that I can't. So you know what? I like it. Bring it on.
Speaking of bring it on, let's get to that mailbag, baby.
Let's do it. Great transition, Ryan. I love it.
Maybe you should take over again. You want to take over for the last segment?
I'm only good in spurts.
Mail time, hashtag ask POD. As always, get your questions into us anytime, anywhere, but specifically on twitter.com. Jeremy, we read the reviews before we begin these. What do you got?
We have one more, and it's a positive one, so you can put your anger, your rage corner to the side for a minute. It is from someone who calls himself Guy Who Overhypes Zach Zenner. And unfortunately, the subject of his post got cut off, but it says, great podcast, funny and decently, I'm going to say that next word is interesting, starts with an I. Anyways, 5 stars, he says, while Chris may be adequate, the podcast is not. Thank you for free entertainment and for also answering my Zach Zenner question. Also, I'm a Lions fan in Maine, and my dad is a diehard Patriots fan who thinks Kyle Van Noy was a steal, and the only linebacker better is Hightower, and loves Bademosi. Please help. Well, I think the Patriots helped you out all they could in the Super Bowl. Their defense looked pretty friggin' bad.
Ooh, boy.
I think the Lions currently have better linebackers than the Patriots do. At least until Dont'a Hightower is healthy.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Hightower is healthy, maybe not, but...
All right, I'm going to start us off a little light here just because some of this mailbag is going to swing in directions Jeremy's not going to like. So we're going to start this one off with a Valentine's-related question from Chris Swanson. Are you guys for or against it? For or against kissing on the first date?
What is this turning into Love Line?
This is ridiculous.
Well,
Dr. Drew?
I love how Chris is just waiting for the answer. Chris, to kind of harken back to the mailbag from last podcast, you called Jeremy a prude, so I'm going to get out in front of that and say kissing on the first date is fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever's comfortable, I guess. If she's okay with it or he's okay with it, then try it, I guess. I really don't know the circumstances of the first date. It has
context.
Yeah, context. Yeah.
Context.
I think in general, we're a little bit too sexually repressed as a country. So yeah, you want to kiss on the first date, go for it. You want to go further than that, go for it.
I kind of agree with that. I've seen this the underbelly of this particular country, and I don't know if I want it to be anything but repressed.
fair point.
Completely fair point.
Okay. Next question from T-Money3, who's got two questions. This one's for you and me, Jeremy. Best sandwich in Southern California? And oh. I need to drum this guy out for a second because he says his favorite is pastrami at To-Go's.
This is interesting.
That's a chain, and it's not a good chain. But
I literally just...
We just ate, week, yeah. Yeah.
We ate together. We got a good sandwich at Mendocino Farms or Mendocino Farms. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Yeah, up in the valley. Yeah, yeah. I had the hot Italian, and you had... what did you have again?
I had a vegan banh mi.
Vegan banh mi.
To be fair, I didn't know it was vegan when I ordered it. It was just part
you
of a combo.
You said to her, vegan banh mi. You knew that exactly what you were getting.
That is not true. Anyways, I was going to say, I went to Langer's this week, which is a very famous pastrami corned beef place, and it's legit. Very filling, but legit.
That's the one thing that surprised me about Southern California. I did not realize there would be as much pastrami down here. I thought it was like a New York thing, but there's a lot of pastrami around LA.
Yeah, and a lot of good pastrami. I also went to a place in Beverly Hills that was probably even a little bit better than Langer's that I can't think of right now. But do you have any other answers?
No, that's really it. I see. The problem is like coming here, my first instinct is to go for the Asian food and then for like tacos and burritos. So I really haven't actually had a lot of sandwiches. Most of the sandwiches I've gotten from have been from the lunch food trucks that are outside of USC. Which, if you do come to USC, Armando's is always a good food truck to hit up if you're just looking for a quick lunch. The chicken sandwich is pretty good. My favorite, though, is the one they call the Mark Sanchez. They have a bunch of sandwiches and breakfast burritos named after USC football players. The Mark Sanchez is like a spicy chicken club. It's very good.
I think the place that I was talking about in Beverly Hills is called Nathan L. Delicatessen. Legit.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to you want to do an actual Lions question here. We've got one here. Ponks asks us about the power blocking scheme. Are you excited the Lions are switching from a zone to a power blocking scheme? I mean, they were running power blocking like the first year with after they fired Lombardi and put in Cooter as offensive coordinator. They were running power blocking.
Yeah,
so
I'm not
away from it.
I'm not really one that prefers one or the other. I think some people are excited about Davidson bringing the power blocking scheme because that means we're likely going to have a fullback. They had a fullback in San Diego and in Denver when Davidson was there last. But to me, I'm just happy that there's change coming, that there's change and that they brought in Jeff Davidson, who has a history of improving running games across the board. You know, when he was with the Vikings, he had one of the best running games in the league. I'm just glad that there's change coming. I don't really have a preference towards zone or power blocking, and I don't really see the personnel favoring one scheme over the other. So just that there's change is happening is good enough for me.
Any thoughts, Ryan?
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Okay, well, let's get you a question you will like from David. Who wins in a Hell in a Cell match? Rory, Paws, Hooper, or Al the Octopus? I feel like we've done this one before.
Yeah, we have done this one before. The answer is...
I think we said Hooper.
What is the answer?
No,
yeah,
actually,
I think
Hooper
we said
would
Hooper
show
because...
Hooper would show off, though. Like,
Yeah, and I don't know, Rory's just a little bit too nice. I appreciate the mascots that are jerks to people.
Yep. I mean, Al doesn't even do anything, so it's Paws.
It might be Paws. Paws likes to pull pranks on people. I haven't seen Rory pull a lot of pranks. He needs to up his prank game.
He took out Jamal Charles. I think that's why we chose him last time.
Oh, that's a good point. I forgot. Yeah,
nice. Related, Joey Lawnicki asks us, when will the next wrestling podcast be?
Never. Not on Jeremy's watch.
Yeah. We're on the road to WrestleMania.
I'm sure there are thousands of wrestling podcasts that you can listen to. And if you guys want to spin off and do a separate podcast with cage side seats, you're more than welcome to.
Well, we've got one more question here in this field from John Whitaker. If you had to fill out your coaching staff,
Whitaker.
If you had to fill out your coaching staff with only WWE wrestlers, who would you hire?
Oh my God. What a
worst question.
What a repugnant question. This is too difficult. I'm thinking right now.
Let's move on to the next question.
I just want to say rest in peace to Bam Bam Bigelow, because if he was still alive, he'd be my offensive line coach.
That's excellent. Andres asks us, should the Lions spin wheels on Derek Johnson? So I might as well just say this right now. I think in a couple of podcasts, we're going to basically have like a, not a call in, but like phone in, tell us what you want to know about free agents, and we will tell you everything about it. So I think we're going to save that. Do you have any thoughts on Derek Johnson since he asked this week, though? What do you got?
I'll just address it quickly. There's some weird thing going on with his contract in Kansas City, and basically he's not going to be around. I do think the Lions have a need for a veteran linebacker for certain, because Paul Warlow wasn't that guy last year, and we don't know what's going to happen with Tyre Whitehead. But we're talking about Derek Johnson. He's 35 years old. I don't know. It would have to be, I hate using this phrase because I was making fun of it earlier on Twitter, but like it would have to come at the right price, because that's a little bit too veteran for me.
I just think back to the 2005 draft and the Lions picking at number 10 and me wanting Derek Johnson more than anything. I know I was only like 3 years old at the time, but I wanted Derek Johnson so bad. And of course, the Lions did not get Derek Johnson. They drafted a wide receiver from USC.
Next question up here. Let's go with this one from Jack H, who is trying to show us a video here from renowned music critic Steve Allman and his assertion that Toto sucks. I think he is basically putting this to us to try to defend Toto. And I will just say this by saying Steve Allman sucks.
Steve Allman sucks.
Is that Allman Brothers Allman?
I don't know.
If so, I'm never listening to the Allman Brothers again.
I don't think it is, but I'm just saying, like, who cares?
Every Allman sucks.
Like, we were having this conversation before because people stand for stuff like Detroit Rock City and think we should go for that. The thing about Toto is that it's not a sports anthem. And that's fine, because you look at stuff like Sweet Caroline or Don't Stop Believin'. Those weren't sports anthems either. And it doesn't have to be. And you know what? Africa is better than all of that.
Ramblin' Man sucks. That song is horrible.
Stop Googling Allman Brothers.
I just had to make sure that was the right band.
Critical perspective. Three-point conversion. If the NFL introduces the idea of a three-point conversion option after a touchdown, where should the ball be spotted?
The
kind of like that question.
Probably the 15-yard line?
Yeah, why don't you put it at the spot wherever the new extra points are snapped?
It should be a Hail Mary.
What?
Hail Mary from like the opposing
69 yard line.
Yeah, nice. All right. Ryan Collins at Shafty Von Hack has questions for me. Two adequate questions for Chris. What is your favorite esport to cover, and which esport would you like to see more of in the future? It's still Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Like, that is the twitchiest game out there. It's so fast and fun to watch. It's probably, if you want to introduce anyone to the idea of watching esports, it's probably CSGO. The one I want to see more of in the future, I really don't know. There's really not, like, as much as I like CSGO, there's really not a game that, like, speaks to me as the all-encompassing esport right now. I just don't get into MOBAs. The problem is I'm outside of the target demo for esports by saying I don't like MOBAs. So it's whatever.
Is there a Modern Warfare 3 league I can join?
There is, not for Modern Warfare 3, but Call of Duty does have a league.
It needs to be Modern Warfare 3 for me to be interested.
And it needs to be held on the 360.
Yep.
You know what? I'd like to see more, Ryan. I would like to see more fighting games. I need to get more into fighting game esports. Like, I see some guys out there for like Smash and Tekken and all the rest. And I don't know. I suck at fighting games. I want to get better at them.
There was a point in time where I was up on fighting games. And then I feel like it was probably the first Injustice game. Like, I bought that and I was like, this is fun. And then like a week later, I was like, I'm never buying a fighting game ever again.
But I mean, they're coming out with a new Soul Calibur. Probably too young to remember the games of Soul Calibur 2.
All right.
Soul Calibur 2 was everywhere, man. That was like my
wasn't that the one that had Star Wars characters in it? It had like Yoda and stuff.
No, I think that was like Soul Calibur 3. I think Soul Calibur 2 had like Spawn.
I would have been into that.
I do like in the new Injustice that there's Hellboy and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, that's enough to make me think about getting it. All right. Let me get a couple more questions here. Kota Gibbushi, Christy Gibbons. What Valentine's candy did you always hope to get in grade school when you passed out Valentine's?
I don't know if these existed or not when I was a kid, because that was like 50 years ago or something, but I'm down for whatever shape Snickers wants to put their candy in. So Snickers hearts, yeah. Snickers Easter eggs, yeah. Snickers pumpkin shape, yes.
Same
Snickers anything.
Reese's.
Yeah. Whatever isn't the candy hearts, the chalky candy hearts.
Yeah, whatever.
I always wanted to get those chalky candy hearts just because they had like the little sayings on them, and then you could go around and pass them out to people and you could be super passive aggressive.
Actually, you know what? I just like milk chocolate hearts. I think that's fine enough for me. You get me a nice milk chocolate heart, I would be. Yeah.
Like a little dove.
Yeah. Like the people you really didn't like, you'd give them the one that would say like, "You're nice."
Bud Dog asking us, how is Ryan liking his new Bills fandom?
I mean,
and also he wants to know your thought process on getting the second team.
I mean, my thought process, did I outline it here or did I outline it in Slack? I think I outlined it in Slack, but essentially, my life bleeds. But anyways, so basically I needed to find another team that wasn't really that good, but had the potential to be good, but had a greater potential to let me down. So, and that's how I arrived at the Buffalo Bills.
Ryan, so, if I can play matchmaker here, that's not your team. You're the Chiefs. You're 1000% the Chiefs.
Well, here's the thing. I think I might have to switch over the offseason, but that, you know what? That's a good point though, because they could definitely, they have the potential to be really good, but they also have the potential to lose in the first round of the playoffs every year.
Yes, exactly. And we all know who their quarterback is now.
Oh my God. I don't know if I may become a bigger Chiefs fan than a Lions fan.
No, God. Arrowhead Pride, Mahomes. If you're listening.
My Patty Mahomes love runs deep like the rivers of this great country.
I was going to say, Kansas City ain't got no rivers. She waited. It might. I don't know.
Is the Missouri River close to it?
Yeah, because see, the problem is every time I think Kansas City, I think like Lawrence. I think like in Kansas itself, and I realize, oh, right, it's weird because it's actually in Missouri. Mm-hmm. Matt Gibbons asking us, which is the worst part of Detroit sports? Mike Valenti or Jeff Moss?
Can you bleep both those names instead of saying them? Post-production, just bleep those guys' names?
No. I'm picking I'm picking Mike Vlenny 7 days out of the week, twice on Sunday.
Because he's actually relevant?
Yeah.
Because Mike Vlenny doesn't harass people. Mike Vlenny doesn't harass women.
I can honestly say that I have not heard about either of these people in, aside from one stupid Twitter argument I got in with Moss, I have not heard from either of these people in probably 2 years. And it's easy to keep it that way. So
Mike Valenti almost took the job with WFAN to take Mike Francesa's old gig in New York. It didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it didn't happen. You know what? I don't know. Valenti catches a lot of flack, but at the end of the day, like, I mean, dude, the guy is a radio show personality for the most popular radio talk show at the most popular time. Like, I mean, there's a reason he is why he is the way he is. So
see, and I mean, one of my favorite sports radio moments was one of the Valenti rants when Michigan State lost to Notre Dame in 2006 and he came in and screamed himself hoarse. Like, I mean,
wait, so it sounds like both your answers is Moss then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Moss is just the worst one. Moss is just fucking toxic. Someone is absolutely going to fucking narc on this podcast to Jeff too.
I don't care. Let him.
Whatever. I mean, maybe he can point me in the direction of another book that he helped ghostwrite for Mike Stone and the top 10 strip clubs that he goes to.
Which is actually like 15 because he three of the entries have like three extra strip clubs attached to it. And he counts Windsor as like one strip club, the entire city of Windsor. Isn't that what it is?
I don't know. You showed
it to me once, Ryan. And I was just like, what? What the hell is this?
I don't know. It's just, let me just say it. Okay. The dude is a loser. He's such a loser. Like, nobody reads Detroit Sports Rag for anything. And if you do, then you're a loser too.
I mean, the last time he got famous was because his dog was licking his own balls and they put it up on Deadspin.
They put it on Deadspin.
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit POD cast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you star side.